Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Young Cho and Keith Mayer welcome Greg Shields from Concentrated Technology to the show as they discuss the differences between virtualization and cloud computing and how the two complement each other, as well as how you can take the principles you learn from virtualization and apply them to the cloud. In part one of their series, Greg compares the old way of deploying services and shows us how to do it in System Center 2012 Virtual Machine Manager. Young, the mic is yours.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Virtually Speaking. I'm Young Cho, a technology evangelist at Microsoft. In this episode, I actually have a co-host, Keith Mayer, who is a leading technology evangelist in Microsoft and also leading Microsoft Techno blogger. And I want to welcome Keith. Hi, Keith.
Hey, Young. Hey, happy to be here today. Thanks for inviting me. Hi, everybody. Keith Mayer, IT Pro Tech Evangelist at Microsoft in the U.S.
Hey, Keith, you know what? Today is truly a special day. When I drove to office this morning, I saw this really thick, thick cloud in the sky. And so guess what we're going to talk about today?
what could it possibly be, Young?
and we have a very special guest today, and he's been a community leader. He's a technologist. He has established a reputation in both virtualization and cloud computing, and I'm so excited to have him join our show and to talk about his perspective, his insight in terms of all this cloud computing business. What do you think?
Oh, I can't wait.
Well, Greg, are you there?
Yep. Hello, Young. How are you today? Hello, Keith.
Hi. Greg, I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you have the floor. Introduce yourself to us and tell us who are you, what you've been doing, and what's going on.
Well, Young, my name is Greg Shields. I'm with Concentrated Technology. Young actually drug me aside recently at the Tech Mentor Conference not too long ago and said, hey, I really want to get you on the phone and talk with you a little bit about cloud computing and specifically with Virtual Machine Manager 2012. So, Young, great to see you again. I see you're, where are you today, Charlotte?
Yeah, I'm in Charlotte, and you are?
I'm in Denver, where it just snowed a whole bunch.
And Keith, you are?
I'm in Columbus, where it's currently snowing a whole bunch.
Well, Greg, thank you so much to come into the episode and talk about, you know, your perspective. I know previously you have done a lot of work in virtualization, and you have been a virtualization expert in the field. And recently, I also noticed that you started transition into cloud computing and have been doing some great work in private cloud and in remote desktop services. So tell us about virtualization and how you transition into cloud computing.
Well, it's funny that we think of it as a transition, whereas in many ways, cloud computing is just a new model of operations for how we deal with virtual machines. You know, there's a lot more there too, but at its core, if you want to focus it in on that way, cloud computing is a new, or really just the current best practice in terms of a model of operations for IT. If you are familiar with virtual machines, if you're comfortable with virtualization, that the shift to cloud computing shouldn't be too difficult for you based off of many of the technologies we're seeing out today, particularly those from Microsoft with its new VMM platform.
Well, that's great. Now, you see, when we talk about these virtualization technology and cloud computing, a lot of time, I know Keith and I, we, you know, when we talk with our audiences, many people ask, you know what, Young, I can deploy that virtual machine. You know, why do I need cloud computing? I virtualize my IT shop already, and then why do I need this cloud computing business? I think we really need to understand is cloud computing is the virtualization certainly is not the destiny, right? It's a stepping stone for us to move to the next level. And what do you think, Keith? I mean, have you experienced this when you talk with your audiences?
Definitely. You know, a lot of the IT pros that I work with have gone through the process of virtualizing much of their environment, and they've walked away with the realization that while virtualization alone has offered some cost savings and management savings, that at the end of the day, if whether they have 100 virtual servers or whether they have 100 physical servers, at an operating system level, they still have 100 servers to manage, to patch, to keep up to date, and 100 or more applications across those servers to maintain. And so as we think about cloud computing, and I think some of the aspects that Greg's worked on are ideal in terms of remote desktop services, but as we think about cloud computing and being able to better manage the ongoing life cycle of applications, the patch management of our servers in an automated and hands-off way that helps us keep everything up and running, as we think about how it leverages the ability to be more elastic in our configuration of scaling out and scaling down when we need more resources or fewer resources without having to re-engineer everything. I think those are the big differences that I've seen from a cloud computing standpoint.
So, Greg, I think we both are thinking about cloud now. So tell us, what's a cloud thinking? How do we, facing the cloud computing, how do we taking what we learn from virtualization and make it happen?
Well, I think you said it exactly that way. I have been quoted as saying just almost the very same thing, in that I think the term cloud computing is almost a misnomer. I wish that we would refer instead to cloud thinking as opposed to cloud computing, because virtual machines, at least for the near and medium term future, are going to be the location where our applications and our workloads are running. But when you start thinking about cloud, it's not so much that there is some new technology or some new thing that you can put your finger on. No, it's just a way in which you manage the resources that those virtual machines are actually using. So, for example, in a VMM environment, when I create a cloud, I focus not so much on the number of virtual machines, but on how many resources, or processors, CPU utilization, memory, storage, how many resources that those virtual machines may be using. When I make that shift, then things get quite a bit easier in terms of operating those virtual machines and then managing their consumption, managing their performance, and so on. The other piece to this is So let's take the conversation down a step, right? So we hear a lot about elasticity, we hear a lot about scale out and scale in, but you know, for the average, you know, Joe or Jane IT pro that's sitting in the trenches doing their job, how does this cloud actually, you know, how does this translate into something that's tangible for me? In the world, we've kind of split IT for a very long time up into two different halves. So there have been our server admins and our desktop admins, you know, and you kind of tend to take one path or the other. And the desktop admin path has had a lot of evolutions in recent years with the incorporation of technologies like a configuration manager, with the move away from monolithic image deployment towards a more building blocks approach, like what you would see with the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit. And those skills that have been learned over the years is something that is now fairly prevalent in the desktop world, but never really transitions its way into the server world. When you think about cloud, particularly Microsoft's vision for cloud, those same skills that the desktop admins have been using for years and years and years, and that building blocks approach, are something that we're seeing now with the improvements to VMM 2012 and SP1, the improvements in Orchestrator, the connections with Ops Manager and with Config Manager. When our server admins begin to take a step back from the old monolithic image-based approach to servers and begin treating their servers much like the desktop admins treated desktops, well, then you're going to be that much closer to recognizing how cloud can really benefit you.
You know, this is all great, and you know, it's great, but Keith, you know what I'm thinking? Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
What's that? You want to see it in action?
Yeah, I want to see it in action. Greg, can you show us something? Give us some visualization of how you actually put things together and make it happen. You know, guide us through and give us your perspectives. Give us your insight in terms of, you know, how we can make application in a cloud environment make it blossom and make it work.
Sure. I think the best start here is to take a quick look at how, again, looking at the old way of deploying services, you know, with certain hypervisor platforms, even with VMM in previous versions, the way in which you created a new virtual machine was to right-click and then clone something from a template. But I think what would be a great start is to show how VMM in this case can actually take a bunch of different building blocks and assemble them on demand so that when it comes time to actually create a new service, well, that service just gets created out of those building blocks. Look, do you think that's a great start for this?
Well, I can't wait. Keith, how about you?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, let's do it.
So let's go over to a demo. Okay, so what we're taking a look at here is an instance of VMM 2012 SP1, and we're also taking a look here at a cloud. I've just called it our cloud. And I have to kind of step back, and I'm kind of humored by, in an era where a lot of people in IT are saying, I don't know what cloud is, and I don't understand what cloud is, and there's so much confusion out there about cloud. Well, for Microsoft to stick a button in the upper left-hand corner of VMM that's titled Create Cloud, well, that's just bloody impressive. I have to say that because, you know, hey, by the way, we've got a button for that. Anyway, in order to create that cloud, there's a lot of steps you have to put into place before you could even click this button. And there's a lot of content out there on the internet these days that will help you with getting to the point where you can even click that button. But I'm not so interested in showing how you construct the cloud. That's almost becoming almost old news. What we need to know now is, well, all right, once I have the cloud, well, what the heck do I do with it? And that's kind of what I want to show you here in this demonstration. Now, the old approach for how we dealt with our resources in a virtual environment dealt very specifically with virtual machines. And the VM was the unit of a workload. And if I take a look here at the VM's node, I can see a bunch of virtual machines that are currently running in this environment. But one of the kind of, honestly, one of the real forward-thinking pieces that Microsoft has included in VMM 2012 is the notion of services and taking another step back from virtual machines and focusing on the service that that virtual machine and various other virtual machines collected together intend to offer. And so here we have our VM's view, but we can also take a look at a services view here where we can see some of the different instances of services that have been created. So here in our cloud, I've got a couple of different services that I've already provisioned. These are constructed from a whole series of building blocks that get assembled at the very moment that you instantiate the service. The kind of classic use case these days is your end-tier service or a web application. And in fact, if you look at some of the content you'll find on the internet, well, there's this web tier here, and the web tier has one server. That one server is running a website that's been deployed into that server. That web tier talks to an application tier that has some sort of application installed into it. Just for the sake of argument, I've installed an old version of Java JRE just to show that example. And then the app tier then connects down into a database, and this database server is running SQL 2012. Now, the way that these end up getting constructed, these services, is something that happens here in the library in what may be VMM's most exciting and at the same time most confusing different aspect, and that is the notion of service templates here. This three-tier service is constructed from, if I open up the designer, literally three tiers. I have a database tier, a web tier, and an app tier. And as you can see via the different configurations in here, these tiers themselves are made up of, again, lots of building blocks. So let's take a look at, for example, the web tier here. These building blocks then, as I drill down even further, these building blocks start their lives as individual configurations that bubble up into creating the ultimate service. And for people that are intending on creating services, you have to start at the bottom, at the most atomic unit, and work your way up, which is very different than what most server admins have been doing for a long period of time, and is very similar to how the desktop admins, especially with Microsoft Deployment Toolkit and with Config Manager, have been doing in recent years. So a hardware configuration includes all the configs that are identified with the virtual machine's hardware. An OS configuration has to do with its operating system, and an application configuration has to do with the different applications that you add into this tier. So you can see here I have a web application. This web application is an object that exists here in my library. That object is customizable, and I can even include some pre-install scripts to ensure that I have the necessary components installed prior to this tier actually getting deployed. The idea with all these is that when it comes time to actually deploy out this service, you literally click the Configure Deployment button, you give it a name, three-tier, and once that service is ready to go, well, it appears here in a window that allows you to define where in your cloud it's going to end up going. The brilliance here is the fact that once the tier is constructed in a way, or once the service is constructed in a way that it just works every time, well, then you can turn this over to, whether it be in this case, developers, or maybe it may be some other group within your IT organization. They can literally click one button and then create an entire three-tier service right out of the resources that you have in your cloud. Now, admittedly, Greg, this isn't going to work. Oh, go ahead.
Greg, this is fascinating. So with this service template, you basically, it appears to me, you actually define the application architecture not just at the machine level. You also have the application layer, the runtime environment, build up and then install the application. It appears to me that you're going from sort of like the deployment server, then build the environment, then install the application. Everything, that entire application architecture and installation procedure, deployment procedure, is encapsulated in this service template.
Absolutely. And in fact, the best sort of analogy here is the difference between in the old days, way back in when we were doing desktop deployment with Ghost. Well, when you provision virtual machines without services, it's a lot like using Ghost, right? I have one GHO image, right? And that Ghost image is awesome, except when I have to go and change stuff. Well, then when I change things, I have to create the image and then modify it and then, you know, upload that image back into my Ghost store. And so a lot of people would have sometimes 40, 50, 60 different Ghost images that they would need just to create the different desktops that they would want to require. Well, in the server world, we did that for a long time. We were just copying stuff and cloning things from templates. Well, what this allows me to do is it's a more bottom-up approach, similar to the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit or Configuration Manager. If I need to make a change to this, I can make a change to the service template. And then the next time the service actually gets deployed, well, it gets deployed with that new configuration. This is fantastic for environments that have special needs, like, for example, in this case, developer environments. I may have a bunch of developers that need to code for an application and test against that application, that when we deploy out the test environment, maybe today I need to test against this version of the environment, and tomorrow I need to test against that version. It doesn't make a lot of sense for me to continuously rebuild those for my developers. In this case, all I have to do is make a simple change, make a copy to the service template, and then I could automate the deployment of this through any mechanism that fits the needs of my developers and myself.
That's awesome, Greg.